started 5 years ago. I had a hard time figuring out how to bring this off and brought in two friends, Herb Katz and Ruth Cowing, and together we started this thing which we thought would never last 5 years ago. And it's been a remarkable success. We consistently either sell out or come close to selling out our venue. We each night show a film that deals with mental illness and recovery from mental illness, and have a panel discussion afterwards, typically of a consumer, a provider, if we're lucky, the filmmaker. And we have 95%+ of the audience that sticks around for a very animated discussion that follows each of these films.
Let's talk a little bit more about the panel discussion, because that's a very interesting factor and aspect that you have to this whole series. How has that been beneficial to people that are in the audience as well as people that are a part of the filmmaking?
There's a film called OC-87, which was made by a filmmaker in Philadelphia, very autobiographical. A man that clearly has Asperger's syndrome, and you could see the passion for the topic, but also how hard it was for him, in a sense, to present to this large theater. We get to the panel discussion. A 18-year-old young man gets up and says to him, "You've told my story," and it was just this incredibly moving moment watching these two connect. We get always a very mixed audience of people who carry that diagnosis, their family members, people who are working in the field. And people come in with lots of questions and often with lots of background. So there's a real sense of community and sharing that builds up with each of these panels.
And what are the topics that these films explore? Anything in particular that you guys try to hone in on, or is everything up for grabs?
Everything relating to mental illness is up for grabs. You know, the one thing we look for in each of the films is a message of hope and to try to get across that recovery is a very realistic goal.
Yeah. Is this more of a road to recovery unveiling with these films, or is this more we're defeating stigmas here as well?
I think it's both. There's so much in the news and so much in the news of late which serves to vastly and incorrectly stigmatize people with mental illness. By getting across this message that, a diagnosis does not consign one to a life of illness, a life of functioning poorly, I think that sort of by definition is going to do a lot to try to deal with the stigma issue as well.
And with your medical background, how does this aid in recovery?
The toughest part of a serious and potentially chronic illness is hopelessness. And if one believes that this is inevitable, that things will go badly, there would be very little reason to engage in treatment, which is often difficult to access and may pose challenges. What I hope these films do is to counter that idea. If you are suffering from a significant depression, it's very easy to misperceive and to believe that this is your lot in life and that it will always be so.
With all great things come challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the challenges to this series? You said you didn't expect it to make it 5 years, and here you are. So what are the challenges now going forward?
Oh, there are probably two challenges. One is finding good films, and it's a lot of work. We weed through lots of films that are not so good. And
so you've become a critic in the process, huh?
Yes. And have watched too many bad movies as a result.
What do you deem a good movie? How do you pick them?
We operate on consensus, and we have at times some very fierce debates about whether we should include this or not. So the content has to be right. We want it to have accurate information. We want it to have this message of hope, and we want it to be a decent film that's going to hold the audience interest. So we have several of our spouses who are not necessarily in the field also watch to see if it's a decent film that they would want to see. And at the end of all this, we sort of emerge with a consensus, ultimately, about which we want to see.